Lord, you are worthy of all praise. You are God and you are to be glorified. You are God and you are good. And we love you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness. We come to express our gratitude. We come to express our love. We come to worship you today. May our eyes stay fixed on our good shepherd. Whether we go through a valley or we're on a mountaintop, may our eyes stay fixed on you, Lord Jesus, for you are good. And we love you too. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, after 4 years of preaching 3 services every Sunday, this is the last one for a while. For a while. We'll be here again someday. That'd be all right. This front row, we kind of discussed. I don't know if y'all know who Gallagher is. They wore the ponchos during the Gallagher. I'm thinking they might need one. Sometimes I spit a little bit. Last Sunday, we started a sermon series called The Powerful Practices of Jesus' Fulfilled Followers. And so there are certain things that should be a part of every Christian's life that if it's not a part of your life, then there's probably a reason. No, let me back that up. If you're not fulfilled in your faith, this is probably one of the reasons. The things that we're going to be talking about. Last week was worship. If worship is not a part of your daily life, well, there's no wonder you're not satisfied in your salvation. It is what you were created to do. Now, as Brother Terry said, maybe not all of us are great singers, but he's listening to the tone of our heart more than what's coming out of our mouth. And so I want to look at Psalm. Actually, last week, Sam Garza started with this verse of scripture. And we're going to do it again, verse 1 of Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. That is good. Proclaim the gospel every day. That's what that means. Proclaim the good news. Good news is gospel. Good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare the glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. He is to be feared above all gods, respected and revered. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. So we are going to be talking about that last verse of scripture today, and that it says, bring an offering and come into his courts. And so the powerful practices of fulfilled Christians, one as we started there is worship, and that just as that passage flowed right into giving. We each week we'll talk about how we worship through songs, but also through tithes and offerings. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Now, I'm an 80s kid, and being an 80s kid, there was always a new scandal on the TV of some shyster preacher that was taking advantage of people. And because of that, I always struggled in preaching on this subject. But I had when I first came here, my associate pastor, Brother Cecil Downey, great man of God, Iwo Jima survivor. And the first time I mentioned that, I said, I really struggle preaching on giving. He said, Pastor, and now this was a man who, while he was down here in a wheelchair, I looked up to him. And yet I was his pastor. And he said, Pastor, never apologize for anything that's written in this book. So, well, amen. All right. It's like saying sick them to a bulldog. So I just tied into it. But there is always that concern. And I know that as sometimes you're a new Christian or this is an area that you have not trusted God yet in, there will be emotions that might stir up in your heart as we talk about this subject. And I just want you to ask the Lord where those emotions might be coming from. Because sometimes the devil will fool you with your feelings. And when we talk about this subject, some of the feelings that will come up, sometimes they're anger, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's distrust. And I just want you to just be aware of those things. I want to look in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Very similar in some of the words that we just read in Psalms. By the way, about one third of the New Testament, all the parables that Jesus taught and all of these things, about one third of the New Testament is on this subject. He talks more about this than heaven and hell together. Isn't that interesting? And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How many of you have experienced miracles, or maybe you wouldn't call it a miracle, but a work of God, something that you would look at and say, God did that? How many of y'all have experienced those things? I've experienced quite a few. I've experienced some pretty amazing things, but overwhelmingly, it is in this area that I've experienced more than any other. I've had a few healings and pretty cool stuff. Amazing what God can do. But overwhelmingly more in this area than any other area. First service, I shared with the congregation how when I first went into ministry, surrendered to the Lord and was obedient to his call, I went off to school and we were broke as a joke, and we was po. We couldn't afford the O and R, it's just po. And for real, we actually had I worked for I farmed watermelons for my brother, was going to school full time. I worked at a grocery store, gas station, video store, deer processing in Harleton Tech, one store. That's now you in the country when it's a grocery store, gas station, video, and deer processing. And I did all of those. I skint deer and I stocked groceries. So that was really the only income that we actually had. And then I did work at a church and they paid for my gas to get there basically. But I knew I was doing what God had called me to do and was obedient to him. And when I had finally come back to Henderson County, finished my basics at Trinity Valley and went back to the school, because I didn't know that I could get my basics here for way cheaper. I just went straight to school. I didn't know, because I'm the first one in my family to ever go to college. My mom had an eighth grade education. My dad had a 10th grade education. And then only a couple of us siblings actually graduated high school. Nobody knew anything about college. And so I went straight to a Christian school. And the first year I went to that Christian school, we got $100,000 worth of debt in student loans. Yeah, those things are brutal. And knew that we couldn't keep that up. It was our first year. So I came back, got my basics, and then went back to school. And I remember that morning so clear when Christy said, I don't know why you're going. We can't afford it. We don't have enough money to pay for school. We can't take out any more student loans. And we were living in Brownsboro at the time, driving to Marshall. I said, I just know God's calling. So I'm just going to do it. So we get there. I get there and by myself. She's here at home. And I go through the whole registration process. And if you've ever done that, you know how you stand there with the paperwork. And part of the process, you're sitting there in financial aid. And I probably 20, 30 people in the room. And I get a call back to the financial aid officer. And she said, you're married? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm married. Got kids? No, ma'am, don't have any kids. Said, you're a senior? Not a senior. She said, well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Give me what? She said, I'm going to give you a scholarship. It's for a married father of children who is going into ministry and has good grades and who's a senior. She said, you have good grades. She said, now don't drag this thing out. You're supposed to be a senior. It took me 5 semesters to finish. And I got a scholarship that not only paid for the school, it paid for the books, it paid for everything. And they gave me a $60 check at the end of the day. Every semester. When she shared that with me, I just went out in the hallway and I just cried. Because that's how good God is. When you move in obedience to him, he is faithful and he blesses and he provides. I remember, I wasn't going to tell you that whole story on that one. I was going to tell you this story. I remember Christy and I, we got married. I was 19, she's 18. And we were pretty young, but we'd been fairly mature for our age. We was brought up that way. And I had a paid-for truck, and she had a paid-for car. And I remember our little house there in Brownsboro. Walk out there one morning. I'm getting ready to get my truck, head to Marshall to school. And we parked our vehicles about 6 feet apart in our little driveway. And on the opposite side of the fence from our vehicles was a tree that was about you couldn't reach around it. It was over 4 foot around. Now, if you can do the math, 6 foot apart, over 4 foot around tree, and I wake up one morning and that tree is laying right between our two vehicles. Right between them, and didn't hurt either one of them. And there's a reason. It's because we had gone out there and said, God, these are your vehicles. We can't afford another one, but we're doing your ministry. We've been obedient to the call. These are your vehicles, and he protects what's his. Amen. He's good that way. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. I didn't have a whole lot of increase, but we honored him with what we did have, and he blessed it. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So in this passage of scripture, there's a principle, there's a practice, and there's a promise. The principle that all of these passages that we're looking at today, the principle is this: God is trustworthy, and when you trust him and make him first in your life, that's the principle. We mean, as his children, the expression of trust to the Lord is to make him first in our lives. And that says, we trust you, Lord. And so this is the principle. We should trust the Lord and make him first. The promise, or the practice, is this: tithes and offerings. What is a tithe? Tithe is 10% of what comes in, and you give that 10%. You don't give the tithe, you bring the tithe. It's already his. 100% is his, but he says, I'm just asking for 10. And so we give the 10%, but it's really more bring the tithe. That's what it says in the book of Malachi, bring it. Then you can give above that, and that's what we would call an offering. And I haven't just given a tithe in years and years and years. We always give above that because we have experienced his goodness in amazing ways. This, again, I've experienced more blessings in this area. When we first came to Sand Springs, my income wasn't very great, and she had none. We had babies. And by the age of 30, now remember, I was 28 when I first came here. By the age of 30, we owned our own house. We had no house payment. I'm telling you, this is tried and tested, and God is true. We still have that house. We've raised two boys in it. It's old. It was built in the 50s, but it worked for raising two boys. You don't want them in to say anything good and new anyhow. I'll tear it up. Proverbs chapter 3 again, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions, the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. There's the promise. What's the principle? God's trustworthy. What's the practice? Tithe and offerings. What's the promise? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I want to look in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Is anybody uneasy about this sermon at all yet? You ain't going to say it, are you? I promise you there are many in the room that are. I'm just going to break into it real quick before we, I'll do it in order. I'm not going to mess you up, Whitney. Here's the truth about how it works with God. With God, giving is gaining. With God, giving is gaining. We want to look at Matthew and just to say, it's up there, ain't it? Let's go ahead and look at it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What's the principle? The principle is he's trustworthy. You can trust him. What's the practice? Giving, tithes and offerings. What's the promise? He's going to add your needs. He's going to take care of those things. You trust him with that, he'll take care of the other. With God, giving is gaining. I was in the middle of preaching my first son's wedding when this download came to me, and I was reminded of the most famous verse of scripture, John 3:16. There they are, bride and groom, standing there in front of me. And that passage of scripture, y'all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved that he gave his son. And I realized that in that moment, I'm giving my son away. I'm giving it, he's moving out of my house, praise God. that was the deal. You're getting out. Giving him away in marriage, but I didn't lose him. I gave him, but I didn't lose him. I actually gained a daughter. Amen. Now, that's nice and sweet while I'm up here telling you that, but I'm trying to preach their wedding. And I'm just starting to get choked up and realize I'm not losing my son, I'm gaining a daughter. Never had a daughter. And I mean, the Lord knows what he's doing, why he didn't give me a daughter. And then I just preached my other son's wedding just about 3 weeks ago, I guess. And there again, I'm not losing my son, I'm gaining another daughter. Amen. So our family of four, me and Christy, Caleb and Luke, then turns into a family of six. Gaining, giving in God's kingdom is not losing, it's gaining. And so now I have two daughters, but now not only do I have, there's my two daughters, beautiful daughters. This one on the left has lost a lot of weight since that picture. And that's, aren't my daughters beautiful? They're just beautiful. By the way, that's the sunset on the hill that y'all going to be on next week. That's the sunset. That's Luke's wedding. Next picture, there's how it works with God. Now our family is not just six, we're seven. That is Magnolia. She's beautiful. And now not only do we have three daughters in our family, we have extended family with the Wheelers. And the previous service, we had Luke's in-laws, the Van Hogues, they were in here. See, with God, giving is not losing, giving's gaining. Amen. Amen. With God, giving is always gaining. And so I know I said this last Sunday, I'll say it again because I can. In 6,000 years of human history, the most perfect child ever born is my granddaughter. So, most beautiful child ever. And so, anyway, as we recognize the way that it works with God, giving is not losing, giving is gaining. But I also want to put it this way. When those emotions rise up, if this is not a practice of your life, see, I have to tell you, I don't remember ever learning how to tithe. I don't remember. From the time that I was gathering eggs and feeding cows and horses, I got a tithe. I mean, I got a salary. People call it an allowance. But I was told later on, no allowance, you don't do anything for it. You just get it. Well, let me tell you, I did plenty for my allowance. And so I was given my allowance and change so that I could take out of that dollar, I could take a dime and I could bring it to church every week. So I don't remember learning how, but I do remember the joy of generosity. I don't remember learning how to tithe because I always did. Now there was a season in which I didn't, and we took a hit because of it. But then there was a getting back into obedience. But I do remember the joy of generosity when I said, I'm going to go well beyond that 10%. I'm going to give God an offering. I'm going to give it into the kingdom work. I want to see it, my kingdom work increase. And man, the blessing, God's true to his word, y'all. His blessings just flowed like crazy. I want to look up chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. No. I was going to do the guarantee. Let's do the 90-day challenge. I am so convinced that God is true to his word that if you start tithing and he don't come through for you, we'll give you all your money back. Let's read it. If you tithe, give 10% of your family's income for 90 days, and at the end of those 90 days, you believe that God hasn't blessed you for your obedience, then we will give you all your money back. Say, Pastor, you're trying to build a building. Are you sure you can do that? 100%. Because I know my God. And I've tested him in this area. He tells us to test me in this. And I know him to be true. And so if you want to start this, if you've never tithed before, and I know in this room there's many that this is a challenge. This is a tough one. And I just promise you that I'll guarantee it. That if you do it for 3 months and you don't notice a blessings in your finances, we'll give it all back to you. All right? And I believe I can trust God, and I know you can too. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So you can't, you know, Billy Graham said, I've never seen a casket with a trailer hitch. Because you can't take it with you. But the great thing about God, you can send it on ahead. But when you send it on ahead, it actually comes back here. It just continues to increase. It's amazing. And I want you to look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is not a... All right, so I told you as an 80s kid and the scandalous preachers that were stealing people's money and all that stuff, I was a little hesitant. So what I would do is I'd tell myself, if we can see God get their hearts right, then their treasure will be right also. I misread that verse of scripture right there. If their hearts are right, their treasure will be right also. And so I just kind of held to that. And if I can just help them get their hearts right, their treasure will be right. That ain't even what that says. It says, it's actually making the statement that where the treasure is, the heart is, that the two are inseparable. You can't separate one from the other. It is absolutely inseparable. Why? Because your treasure is what you trust. And if treasure is what you trust, your heart is in that. And so this passage of scripture says the two are inseparable. You can't separate one from the other. Where you put your treasure, your heart's there. And so that I just want to bring that into consideration, that there is no separating your heart from your treasure. I want you to look in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is the spirit of materialism. He says you can serve one, but you can't serve both. You will serve one or the other, but you cannot serve both. But I want you to look at now in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Again, what's the principle? That God, you can trust him. He's trustworthy. And he deserves the first fruits. And we're going to talk about what those are. Let's talk about the first things. I believe that God deserves my time, my talent, and my treasure. My time. Y'all are already off on a good start. This is the first day of the week. Amen? I know we call it the weekend, but this is the first day of the week. And you're starting it off in the house of the Lord, giving worship to him. Good job, y'all. Y'all got to give yourself a gold star. You have started off by saying, God, this is the first and you deserve it. I'm giving it to you. And you've already got a gold star on the second one too, because I give God the first of my day. Let's give him the first. Let's give him the first of whatever. I'm going to give him the first day of the week and the first of my day. Every morning I start off, before I talk to Christy, before I eat anything, I want to feast on this word and I want to talk to my Lord. Amen. What about talent? That's my time. What about talent? I believe God deserves my service. I wasn't saved to sit. I was saved to serve. And a person that won't serve becomes selfish and distracted. In 22 years of pastoring here at Sand Springs, we've had some complainers along the way. I know it's surprising. I know it's shocking. Surely no one would ever complain. It's a perfect church. Y'all are not even. You're afraid to laugh. There's been a lot of complaints along the way. I promise you, those that complained along the way are not those who serve. It's those that do nothing that say the most. I thought, man, isn't that interesting? See, when we are not serving, we become selfish and we become distracted. And so God's given every one of us talents and gifts and abilities, and he deserves them back, using him for his glory and for the good of his kingdom. And so our time, our talents, and then also our treasure. I want to look at Proverbs 11:25. When Caleb was, 6, 7 years old, I had him in the deer stand with me. He was sitting in a ground blind, and seeing that it is Proverbs 11, it must have been either November or December the 11th, whatever year that was, because I would read a proverb a day. And so there's a proverb for every day of the month. And so on the 11th day of the month, I was reading the 11th proverb, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying and quietly just praying to the Lord, and I'm wanting him to pour out on me. I need you to understand this principle right here covers all aspects of kingdom. And so I'm asking the Lord to pour his spirit out on me. And as I'm reading through the scriptures in my little Gideon Bible that I got in the army, I'm reading through the scriptures. And today that page of scripture is worn because of this verse of scripture right here. It says, there is one who scatters. Just think of scattering seed. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. I need you to see what it's saying there. When someone is an agricultural person and they have wheat, they have to plant that wheat in order to get more wheat. Or they could say, I'm not sure this wheat's going to come up. I'm going to keep it and eat it. But if I kept it and ate it, then next season I won't have any more wheat. Y'all see that? That's what this verse of scripture says. There's one who scatters yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right. It leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The generous soul will be made rich. Those who scatter more receive way more back. See, God is in the multiplication business. He's in the multiplication business. He will take your little and turn it into a lot, but he will not take your nothing and turn it into something. I'm going to let that soak in because I expected a better response. Just think on it for a second. He'll take your little and turn it into a lot, but he will not take your nothing and turn it into something. And for the book of 1 Kings, Elijah comes to the widow of Zarephath and says, what have you got? She says, all I've got left in the house is just a little flour and a little oil, and I'm fixing to make us a loaf of bread, my son and I, and we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. And Elijah says, won't you give me that loaf of bread? What? That just sounds cruel. Here you're going to take the last food out of her mouth, and of course, Elijah has heard from the Lord and said, bring me what you have, and God will multiply it. Said the food never ran out in her household. Until the rain came, the drought was over, she always had some more flour in the vessel, always had oil in the vessel. But that's the first thing Elijah said, bring what you have, God will multiply it. Now the next prophet, Elisha. There's Elijah in 1 Kings, Elisha in 2 Kings. Elisha comes to another widow and he says, what do you have? She said, all I got is a little jar of oil. And I just realized when I said that, some of y'all did not. My mother-in-law's from Michigan. She said, what is he saying? I said, oil, don't you understand? Oil, what about Earl? You understand Earl? For y'all that don't understand what I'm saying, oil. All right, oil. But it's oil. So she said, I got this little jar of oil. And he said, well, bring it to me. And when she brought the oil, he said, go and get a bunch of vessels. He prayed blessing over that oil. And every vessel she brought, it filled up. And she was able to sell those, but able to live off of that. God will take your little and turn it into a lot. But he won't take your nothing and turn it into something. Jesus, they have two occasions which he fed thousands of people. One is the feeding of 4,000, one is the feeding of 5,000. With the feeding of 4,000, he says, what have we got? He said, we got just a few fish and 7 loaves of bread. He said, bring them to me. What did he do? He multiplied it and fed 4,000 people. Another occasion, he says, what do we got? They said, we got 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, bring them to me. And he multiplied it and fed 5,000 people. And in each one of these situations, I just need you to get it. That this is the way it works with God. If you don't put it in his hands, he can't multiply it. He can take your little and turn it into a lot, but he won't take your nothing and turn it into something because it's disobedience and rebellion. We were talking about this message in the office the other day. Pastor Terry and Nichelle and I, and I was discussing with them doing this 90-day challenge, and And Shelley said, there was a time period in which I didn't have a job and things were already tight. And she said, and that season without a job, we discussed for a minute, do we withhold our tithes and use that to live off of? And Shelley said, I immediately said, why would I rob the person who I'm asking to provide and protect? Boy, that connected with me. I thought, man, she don't get a lot of things right, but that was right. I like poking fun at her. So Malachi chapter 3, this is the passage that always goes with this principle. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Test me. Just try me, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Principal, you can trust me. He even says, try me. And then he says, verse 10, tithe. And then their promise with this principle is, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Now, I want you to see verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How many of y'all know very well the devourer? You say, man, according to the numbers, everything, we ought to be doing okay. So why are we living paycheck to paycheck? He's called the devourer. You say, by the numbers, everything should be working out. But it's not working out. We have had the opposite over the course of our marriage. When we finally got right and started getting back in church and started giving, early on when we first got married, we had the first, it should be working out. Why ain't it working out? After we begin giving again, tithes and offerings. Then here was Christy, she's the one that, she's got the numbers. She's got the smarts. She says, it shouldn't be working out, but it's working out. We should not have been able to pay all the bills this month by according to the amount of income that we have, but we were able to pay all the bills and there's money left over. Amen. Amen. Now, the first scenario was the devourer got it. But when we were obedient, God says, I'll rebuke the devourer and I'll pour out a blessing on you. Right. Amen. So here's my belief. Now, I don't say it this way. Some people say it this way, and I don't say it this way. Some people say, oh, you're going, God's going to get it one way or the other. That's not the way some people say, if you don't bring the tithe, then he'll get it one way or the other. That's not how I say it. It's accurate, but it's not God getting it. Here's what it is. If you don't give the 10% to the Lord, it's going to go somewhere. It's going to go to your mechanic, your plumber, your doctor, the AC repairman, it's going to go to somebody who has to fix your unblessed life. I'm not saying God is punishing or going after it. I'm just saying, if we're not under that blessing, the devourer going to get it. Can anybody testify on that? I mean, I've lived that side of it too. And so, I love this verse of scripture. God says, I will. He says, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you will, I will pour out a blessing. If you do it, I will also rebuke the devourer. And so now you won't have unnecessary hurt. Well, I just want to point out again, I may not have said it enough times. God will take your little and turn it into a lot. But he won't take your nothing and turn it into something. I'm going to give that guarantee, that challenge one more time. Let's look at it again. If you tithe, and in 90 days, you do not believe that God has blessed you for your obedience, tell us. We'll give it all back. I can say that with confidence, that God is true to his word. And not only because I believe it, but I have experienced it. Amen? I have experienced it. And so I just want to encourage you in this, and I do know that oftentimes when we are considering where do we give, where do we sow into kingdom work, we're oftentimes wondering, is that a good place to give it? I'll let you know that with Sand Springs, we are ultra missional. And when I say missional, I used to mean overseas, but now I mean across the street. We believe in first ministering in our Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. And so we have our eyes fixed on Henderson County. We believe that Athens, Texas is better today because Sand Springs is here. We ain't trying to build this kingdom, we're trying to build his kingdom. And 100% of the giving that goes here goes back into kingdom work, either directly or indirectly. The first 1% goes to Israel for the evangelization of the nation of Israel. God blesses that. And then the first 10% goes straight into missions, local, state, international. The first 30, that's the first 10, then there's 30% that goes into ministry that's within the church. I can just tell you, 100% goes back into ministry one way or the other. 30% is salary, and that is so that we can continue running this, and then 10% savings, 10% operations. If you want to know how we're giving, I just shared it with you. Every church member has access to look at our financials. All you got to do is ask. We'll show them to you. I'm going to tell you the final thing. This church has vision like no other church I've ever been a part of. 10 years from now, this city will be different because this church exists. Amen. 50 years from now, I may not be here. Probably won't be. I'd be 102. 101. I don't even know how old I am. But I promise you, I believe because I got a word from the Lord. I got vision from the Lord. I've got verses from the Lord. I got confirmation from the Lord. This region will be absolutely transformed because this church is here. Amen. Amen. We will be. Will be. And so I just want to encourage you, be a part of something kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. It ain't a Sand Springs kingdom. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we are here to expand that. Amen? We're here to see people's souls saved, their lives transformed, their bodies healed, delivered from bondage, restored in every facet of their lives. That's what we do. You can be a part of his kingdom work. And you will experience blessings like you've never experienced before. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. I'm not saying that we give in order to get. I'm saying we give because you're good and you're worthy. And because you've told us that we can experience you. We can experience you physically, personally. We can experience you weekly. We can experience you. We can see your handiwork in this area of our lives. I've had 3 major healings. 3 in the course of my life. But I've experienced blessings in this area continuously. You've proven yourself over and over. And I believe it is because you want us to trust you. You want us to know that you are good and you are God. You are great and can do whatever you want to do. And if we will trust you in that, you will bless exceedingly. And we can experience you. Many people come to a worship service because they want an experience. And we all do. We all come to that today expecting to experience you. And you've told us you can experience me every day. Every day. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, I pray that if the enemy is needling in someone's heart right now with feelings of fear, feelings of worry, feelings of anger, feelings of greed, those are all works of the devil. Lord, I ask that if it was feelings of greed, it would be transformed into feelings of generosity. Lord, if it was feelings of fear, it would just be washed over with feelings of peace. We just speak Jesus over all the hearts that are troubled in this moment. We know that you are the transformer, that you can transform hearts from darkness to light, from death to life. So, Lord, we ask that you do that even now. Lord, I pray that you'd give us even greater vision. Grow our vision, God. We just thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.